All right. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see all of you. Well, some of you. Just kidding. Welcome to those online. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Megan Larson. I don't know if you're watching online. Megan, we're praying for you, knowing God has some great things in store for you, and just believe in miracles in your life. Hey, turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And we are diving into a long series through this. It's gonna take us all the way up to July. So we're gonna go through it kind of slow. But today it'll seem like we're speeding. It's like one of those things like we speed up and then slow down. It'll feel that way. But let's pray and dive into it. God, thank you so much for allowing us to worship you. I love that song. I want to be lost in you. Isn't that our prayer? Just be lost in the presence of God. To sense and know God is with me. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we do want to be in your presence. We want to walk in obedience to what you're calling us to do, where you're leading us. And I pray today as we celebrate what it means to be a child of God, that we will once again have that light that you ignited within us, spark to a flaming fire of your love and your goodness in our lives. Bless this word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's talk about Ephesus right now. Ephesus is this amazing city. It's a city that Paul went to. We discover about Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. You can read through all that. But we discover about it, and Paul goes and preaches there. He preaches there for about 2 years. He establishes a church there in this town called Ephesus, and it's a great church. It's an amazing church initially. There's some good things that take place in it. In fact, in the book of Revelation, there are seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation that John, who writes the book of Revelation, he has this revelation from God, and God says to John, hey, write these letters to this church, and there's like seven different ones. All of those churches were started by the church in Ephesus. Did you know that? And so Ephesus had a strong influence within the Christian community at that time. There were some awesome pastors. Paul obviously started it. You had Timothy who pastored it. Apostle John pastored it. And so it was an influential church at that time. When Paul was there, the city of Ephesus, let's pull up the map there. That is Ephesus right there. So you can see it. There's Turkey right there. And down here below is Israel. But Ephesus is right there. It's part of modern-day Turkey today. At the time Paul wrote this letter, there's about 250,000 people living in Ephesus at that time, almost as big as Lewiston, not quite, but there was about 250,000 people living there at the time, and it was just during the Roman Empire, Ephesus was a great city, ruled there, and had a lot of influence in the surrounding regions, because it was a port city and all that stuff, so that is kind of an overflow of where Ephesus is and what this church in Ephesians is. And Paul is writing, and he says, I want you to grasp some things. I want you to grasp this church. I want you to grasp and grow in faith. I want you to grow in love. And I want you to grow in wisdom. And isn't that some things that we all need to grow in as well, right? We need to grow in faith. We need to grow in love. And we need to grow in wisdom. And when we grow in those three things, guess what? We will discover how awesome God is. And we will discover all that God is doing and has done and what he's going to do when we grow in faith, when we grow in love, and when we grow in wisdom. And then Paul takes us down this journey, and it's a short book. It's only six chapters. But he takes us down this journey of like personal relationships. If you are married, he talks about roles of husbands and wives. If you're a kid or ever been a kid, if you have parents right now, it talks about your role as a kid to your parents and also talks about parents' roles to kids. If you work, if you're a boss or employee or whatever, it talks about the roles of working relationships, of submitting to those in authority, and also how you should treat those if you are in authority. And then chapter 6 brings us to this end of spiritual warfare. And we're going to just pause on that for like 4 or 5 weeks of spiritual warfare. Because I'm telling you, every single one of us are in a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle is taking place right now. And we need to know how to prepare for spiritual warfare. And so we're going to really spend some time in that. So I'm going to look at verses 1 through 14 here this morning. And it's going to be awesome. I just love it. So let's dive into the Word of God. And as we look at these verses, I want you to count, if you can, count how many times Paul uses the words in Christ or uses the pronoun him. So look at that, because this is an obvious idea, this obvious theme through these first 14 verses that Paul wants us to grasp in Christ or in him, all right? So as we dive in, look at that and see what God is saying to you. So it says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verses 3 through 14 in the Greek, the original Greek, is actually one sentence. That's one run-on sentence. You get an F in like English class for that. But it's one sentence, but in English it's broken up into several sentences. But again, look for the in him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as in a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantor of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Ha! These are some amazing passages of Scripture of the blessings of God. And if you were counting, I counted 11 times in him or being part of him. 11 times in 14 verses, we are in Christ. Think about that, in Christ. We use this phrase, we are Christian, right? We use that phrase, I'm a Christian. I think a better phrase is in Christ. Because that word Christian, everybody's using it. I'm a Christian. You know, and everybody's using it. I'm a Christian here, I'm a Christian there, everywhere be a Christian, hey. You know, but are you in Christ? In Christ. And what does it mean to be in Christ? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you to be in Christ? Several weeks ago, Pastor Michael preached and he had 13 points. 13. And I took that on as a challenge. and I'm not quite there yet. And I have 10. I have 10 blessings that we received. Just from there's a lot more than 10, but I have 10 blessings. And the reason I only had 10 is because, like, first hour I have to be in 1 hour. I would go on, but lucky you. It's a good thing you had communion today. The cracker satisfied your hunger pains. We're good. But if you're taking notes, man, it goes, well, let me look where we come from. The key verse, let's look at that first. Verse 5. He, God, predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ to the purpose of his will. Adoption. I love that. I think those who have adopted, some of you may have adopted children. I've known several people who have adopted children. I think adoption is one of the greatest acts of love somebody can do. It's amazing. Some of the greatest acts of love you do, that you choose to adopt somebody that you, and the reason why you do it is various reasons. People have a lot of different reasons why they adopt. Some, because they can't have children of their own, so they choose to adopt. Some, they do have children of their own, but they see a child in need, and they want to add to their family. Others, they feel like God has placed upon their heart to adopt a child. And a lot of times, it's a child overseas. Our friends, some of you may know Libby and Doug Wilkins. Libby and Doug Wilkins had two great kids. But they felt God calling on their hearts to adopt a child from Russia. And they sought out and went through all these different agencies and all the hoops that you have to go through, and they adopted Dimitri. Where is Dimitri? He's not here today. Dimitri is part of our church, and I asked him, I said, hey, Dimitri, can I use your name? He said, sure, and that's probably why he's not here today. But and they adopted this child from Russia, brought him into their home, and raised him. And some of you may have been adopted, and when you're adopted, there's probably a wide range of emotions. Wide range of emotions that you have towards your adopted parents, and a wide range of emotions that you probably have to your birth parents. But the Bible uses this word, Paul uses this word, and God says, you are adopted. You're my child. You're my child. And being adopted has benefits. Being adopted by God has benefits. Does it not, Julio? It has benefits. It has benefits in our lives when we are adopted. And so the 10 I'm going to look at are, I want you to look at it this way, and how I wrote out these notes. It's God saying to you as an adopted child, okay? It's God talking to you. You. So take it personally, because it's meant to be personal. Number one, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Verse 3, blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just think about that and let the weight of that sink in for a moment. Every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. What? That's huge. Every single blessing that God has for us is ours in Christ. We throw out the term, God bless you, in kind of a flippant way. God bless you. When you sneeze, God bless you. I looked up why we even say that when you sneeze. It has nothing to do with my sermon, but I thought it was fun trivia. We say it because, like, your heart stops. And we say, God bless you. Like, hey, you made it. Way to go. God bless you. But it also was brought up, like, in the 6th century where there was this plague going on, and the Pope said that if you were infected with the plague, you were to announce when people get near, God bless you, as a result of, keep away from me, I have the plague. And it was the modern-day mask, was the God bless you. And so we have these blessings, these benefits in Christ, because we're adopted. We're his child, sons and daughters. We have these blessings in Christ. Well, what are the blessings, Dane? Well, I'll tell you some of them. Galatians 5 is the fruits of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. Those are ours in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts such as prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of healing, miracles, distinguishing gifts, gifts of tongue, interpretation of tongues are ours in Christ. We are His. And He says, these are yours. Oh, that is just sweet. It's so awesome. And we go on here of these next nine blessings that we see are blessings that are ours in Christ. Number two is this: He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Even as he chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. I have friends who went through an adoption process and they adopted three children from the Philippines, and they went through all these hoops and challenges, but they chose this family. They went and says, we want these kids. We want three kids. We want a family and bring them home with us. And I know other people who go through the adoption process. They pick a child long before that child is born. They may have a relationship or a connection or saying, okay, this woman's going to give up this child to adoption. And so they're waiting 9 months, you know, to receive this child into their home. And here's the thing. What God has done before He said, let there be light. Before He says, star here, star here, star here, moon here, sun there. Before He said, creatures here, sea creatures there, birds in the air. Before all of that, He says, Joe, I've chosen you. He said that to us. That's so amazing. Before the creation of the world, God says, I have chosen you. Oh my gosh. And here's the wild thing about this. You know, when you go through adoption, and I haven't gone through this adoption. You guys have gone through adoption. You know, you get this little baby or a little kid, and you don't really know how they're going to end up, you know. You don't know if this is going to be a brat-nosed kid. You don't know if they're going to be great. You know, you don't know. You just don't know. God adopted you knowing you. Knowing who you are. Knowing the crud you bring to the relationship. Knowing that in your heart, because all of us in our hearts have a natural tendency to rebel against God. Because of our sin nature. And He says, I don't care, I chose you anyway. I want you. I want you. That's huge. That's huge. Number three, I've destined you for a purpose. He predestined us for adoptions to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. That, again, is a big weighty statement that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. That God has a plan and purpose for our lives. That there is, listen, there is more than getting up, eating dinner, go to work, or eating breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch some TV, go to sleep, repeat. God has a plan and purpose for every single one of us. Every single one of us. God has a plan and purpose for you. Every single one of us. And you say, well, Dane, I just don't know what that purpose is. What is that purpose? And I'll tell you right now, read your Bible. Get in relationship with Him. He's speaking to you through His Word. Join a small group. Be in discussion with people. Pray. As you grow closer to God and draw closer to your Father, guess what? He's going to reveal that purpose in your life. He's going to reveal Himself to you. Oh, it's awesome. Number four, I brought you into my family. Again, the phrase, adoption of the sons through Jesus Christ. Think of this. God is also ultimately the judge of the universe. Is He not? He's the ultimate judge. So this ultimate judge of the universe says, hey, call me Dad. Call me Dad. And I know there's a reverence to it, and we need to have a reverence to it. But there is this desire, I'm your Abba. That word Abba, Papa, Father. Abba, Father, God, come. I want to be close to you. He calls us to be in this relationship with him. There's a quote by J.I. Packard, and we have the quote right up here. It says this: what is a Christian? The richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God as Father. Isn't that true? God is my Father. There's a great theologian, John Wesley. John Wesley did tons of awesome and amazing things for the work of God. Orphanages, food programs, preaching, thousands saved through his ministry. Towards the end of his life, he said this: I have had the faith of a servant, though not of a son. That's an amazing quote by John Wesley, because basically what he's saying is I knew God as serving him, but I never got to know him as his son. And I think a lot of Christians are in that same boat. We serve, we serve, we serve, we serve, we do, we do, we do, we do. Why not be still and know? Why not know God as Father? He wants us to know him as Father. Number five, I have redeemed you. In him we have redemption through his blood. Verse 7. I've never been down the adoption road, but I know the adoption road cost. It cost money, it cost time, it cost emotion. It cost a lot of different things to go down the adoption road. Adoption has a cost. God has redeemed you, and he paid the ultimate price. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. His blood is what bought your redemption. We have been redeemed. We were sinful people. I was a sinful person, lost in my sin. But God, through the Son, Jesus Christ, has redeemed me, purchased me, brought me out of the miry clay, brought me out of sin, forgave my sins, past, present, and future, forgave me, and I am in relationship with him. This is why we do the communion. It's a remembrance that I have been redeemed. I'm justified. Which leads to the next point. I have forgiven you. The forgiveness of our trespasses. Not only redeemed, but those in Christ are forgiven. This is called the Great Exchange. But, you know, we're going to celebrate Easter here in a few weeks. It's about this. He, on the cross, he took my sin, gave me his goodness, his righteousness. Forgave me my sins. That's what it means to be a child of God. Redeemed and forgiven. Wow. Redeemed and forgiven. Number 7. I have lavished all my love on you. Verse 8. Which he lavished upon us in wisdom and insight. In all wisdom and insight. I love the word lavish. It doesn't hold back. The Greek actually means abundant, overflowing. Abundant, overflowing love with wisdom and insight on us. That's what God has done. Abundance, overflow. I mean, lavished. As a child of God, I am lavished with love. That with that love is wisdom and insight. How many need wisdom and insight? Every single day. And God says, I've lavished upon you. He said, well, how do I get that? James talks about this and says, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to him generously. You need wisdom in things? Seek God. God will give you wisdom. He will speak into your life. He will open up doors. He will close doors. He will give you wisdom. He'll lavish it upon you because it's part of his love in your life. Number 8, I have made you an heir. Verse 11 says this, in him we obtained the inheritance. When you think of inheritance, who would you want to be the child of to receive their inheritance? I mean, there are a few people that I think of. I think of Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Dane Weed. They're all in that category. But when we become an heir, a child, receive the inheritance of God, God is not some poor man's inheritance. These guys are poor man's inheritance. We receive the inheritance of God. All spiritual blessings and benefits are ours. And he did this knowing you. I want you to remember that. He knows you, but he's given this to you. Number 9, I have sealed you with my Spirit. Verse 13 says, we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. A seal is a mark. We are marked by the Holy Spirit. When a person adopts a child, they bring that child home. They introduce everyone. This is my child. It's this mark of love upon them. They don't say, yeah, I ended up having him. I don't know why, but here he is. No, he is marked. He is part of a child. He's their children. They're their child. And we belong to God. God is saying, mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. It reminds me of Finding Nemo. You know, the birds, when the fish pop up, mine, 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 mine. God saying, mine, 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 mine to all of us. You are mine. We are marked. We are his. And here's the other thing. We, the Bible says, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, your mind and my spirit is going to live inside you if you're a Christian, if you are in Christ. Dude, these are amazing. This is amazing stuff that is ours. I don't know why I said dude, but... Number 10, I have guaranteed you your eternity. Who is the guarantor of our inheritance till we acquire possession of it to the praise of the glory? I am turning 50 years old this year. They say when you hit 40, you know you're over the hill, right? They say that. But when you're on a roller coaster, what's the funnest part? The downhill part is. All you guys before 40 and 50, you're on the uphill. That's the hard part. We're on the fun part, the downhill part, because we're spending our kids' inheritance. That's, you know. So, but in this life, there's pain, right? There's aches, there's pains, there's sorrow. And the greatest sorrow that we face in this life is when someone passes away. Or if you receive the news that your life may be coming to an end because of some kind of disease or situation. But with this, he has guaranteed our eternity. We have nothing to fear. Amen. We do not need to fear death. If you're in Christ, even the worst thing that can happen to you is death, right? But death actually opens up the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. In his presence forever. We have been adopted. That adoption, man, it has so many great rewards. We have every spiritual blessing. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. We were destined for a purpose. We were brought into his family. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We've had lavish of love, full of wisdom poured out on us. We are an heir. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we are guaranteed eternity. Charles Spurgeon said this: I'm quite certain that if God had not chosen me, I should have never chosen him. I am sure he chose me before I was born, or else he never would have chosen me afterwards. And he must have chosen me for reasons unknown to me, for I never could find any reason in myself why he should have looked upon me with special love. God has chosen us, but there's this response from us. Do we in faith receive him into our lives? Do we say, yes, I want to be a child of God? Do we say, I want to enter into that relationship? Because all of this is about relationship. Adoption has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with relationship. Have you entered into that relationship with God? It's all His doing. We just receive Him by faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You just heard the Word of God of how much He loves you. And the Bible says this. He says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a simply saying, Jesus, I call upon you as my Savior. You're my Lord. I want you as my Father. And if you haven't done it, today's the day to do that. Right here, right now, I'm not asking you to join a church. It has nothing to do with that. It's everything with joining into a relationship with God. So would you just bow your heads in prayer right now? And if you want to receive that relationship, would you just pray this prayer in your heart with me? Father, I come to you humbly, knowing that I'm a sinner and I need you. I desire you to be my Father. I desire to be in relationship with you. I know I don't deserve it, but God, you said I'm forgiven. I accept you into my life. I open up my heart to receive you. Holy Spirit, come and live within me so that I may be in Christ a child of God. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for doing that for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me?